First, I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 28. I'll read verses 18 through 20. These are maybe well-known verses that are commonly called the Great Commission. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. And turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Begin reading in verse 17. This moves into the words of institution that we are familiar with in regards to the Lord's Supper, but listen to the words that immediately precede that as well. "Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" I began last week to consider the marks of the church, the faithful preaching of the word, the right administration of the sacraments, the exercise of church discipline. These three form fundamental characteristics of what the church is. They must be present for the church to be the church. And what's more, Christ has given elders to serve the church. And they serve especially in these three areas. Their work is vitally connected to the marks of the church. For instance, we saw that the first mark of the church reveals how God has made the visible church the pillar and ground of the church. And that he's given elders who will preach and teach and defend the truth so that you and the church will be built up in your faith. The second mark of the church that we turn to today is the right administration of the sacraments. In God's providence, we're celebrating one of those today. We're celebrating the Lord's Supper. There's a second sacrament as well. That's the sacrament of baptism. And these two sacraments God uses to communicate and to actually bless us with grace as we receive them by his Spirit in faith. He communicates it by tangible means. And in keeping with the marks of the church, you should understand that Christ has given these wonderful blessings to us as a visible church through the ministry of the elders. We are particularly blessed by the visible church through the ministry of the elders. So much like my last message, I'm going to begin by explaining the sacrament and why they are a necessary fundamental mark of the church, and then show you how you receive them and are blessed through the work of the elders. So just what is a sacrament? To understand the blessing that God gives, I need to first answer that question. What is a sacrament? Remember that I've already identified that when I talk about sacraments, I'm talking about the Lord's Supper and baptism. That way you can identify very quickly what I'm talking about. There's a larger word, though, that we use to describe them, and it is the sacraments. It describes the holy things of God that the Lord has given to bless us in our faith. The two practices of the Lord's Supper and baptism make up those sacraments of the church. But what is a sacrament? Well, there are a lot of definitions that you can find, and I especially like how our shorter catechism describes the sacraments as being a sign and seal of God's covenant of grace. And they show us how we are united to Christ. I also found a very helpful definition that came from a pastor named Ligon Duncan this week. He said that sacraments are covenant signs and seals for your assurance and to assist you in your fellowship with the living God. I just want to unpack that just a little bit today in light of Scripture to show you how God blesses you through these sacraments. They are called covenant signs and seals, and that's a common way of referring to the sacraments. When I say that, I'm talking about pictures or confirmations that God gives to us and confirmations of his promises. Those promises we often speak of in terms of God's covenant, and that's why we have these covenantal blessings. That idea of covenant is one that also needs some explanation. So if you think about the broader scripture, you would see God coming to mankind and making promises and entering into an agreement with mankind that he saves. And he says to his people, I will be your God and you will be my people. God himself makes that promise. And by his word, there is a declaration, a proclamation of that. And that's why the first fundamental mark of the church is right teaching and preaching of that word, because God is proclaiming through his word that there is one way of salvation, and that's through Jesus Christ. The second mark is very closely connected with that, because the Lord knows our weakness. Not only has he given us words to hear, but he stoops down to help us to understand the grace that he gives in ways that we can touch and see. And that's what the sacraments are provided for. He communicates in these visible, tangible ways that he is confirming the promise of salvation through Jesus Christ. So much like the way that God uses his word, the sacraments are given to deepen your understanding, to be received by faith. And God gives his Holy Spirit in connection with the word and the celebration of the sacrament so that we grow in our understanding of who God is, what he has done, what we need. He assures us of the forgiveness of our sins. He fortifies us in sanctification. He strengthens our resolve to fight against sin and so on. These are blessings that God communicates to us through the sacraments. I've said that they're closely connected with the ministry of the word. Because of this, another pastor, Dr. Robert Godfrey, has called the sacraments the visible word of God. The visible word of God. Through preaching and teaching, God reveals the will, or his will for our salvation. He communicates to you through the Spirit's blessing you as you read it, as you study and meditate on your word, as you hear the preaching of the word. The sacraments then speak to you in a different way. They speak to you in a visible way. Through seeing, through touching, through experiencing the elements. Now, as I say that, I hope that you will recognize this close combination between word and sacrament that is given. It means that the sacraments aren't doing something different than the word of God. They're doing the same thing, only using a different means. That the Holy Spirit comes along to assure you and to assist you in your fellowship with the Lord. In that light, I want you to recognize that there is something very powerful that is being represented to you, and more than represented, is being given to you in the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. Many times when I come to think of the sacraments, I think of what I am saying to God in the midst of them. And there is something that we say. We are coming and repenting of our sins before the Lord. We are prompted by God's Spirit to confess and to dedicate ourselves to new obedience. And that is part of the sacraments. We are saying we need to be cleansed. We need the blood of Christ given to us. There's something more in the sacraments that is being communicated that is connected with His Word. What is being said is what God says of you and what God says to you through these sacraments. We're not just pledging ourselves to belong to the Lord, but God is pledging Himself to you, saying to you, do this in remembrance of me. This is a sacrament for you as a believer in Jesus Christ, to know that I, the Lord, have acted on your behalf to bring you salvation. And so through the sacraments, by faith, you not only hear the promise of God, you see and you touch and you taste in a way that communicates Christ's presence to you. They are God's gracious gifts to you. They assure you of God's love. They confirm His promise of forgiveness. And in each one of the sacraments, there is an element of that assurance and an element of assistance that comes through. Now, much more could be said about each of baptism and the Lord's Supper, but I just want to briefly call your attention to the blessing and the necessary use of these things for the Christian life. So let me speak first of baptism. We call baptism a covenant sign of initiation. It speaks of how you are united to Christ in His death and resurrection. It means that you no longer belong to the world, no longer belong to death or to Satan. You are belonging to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in baptism, there is a spiritual marking that is given to you that you belong to Jesus. You're belonging to the church of the living God. It means that you are united with Him in a way that sets you apart from all that you once were. There are many passages in Scripture that talk about our conversion. I like Ephesians chapter 2, where there's a reciting of the sins that were part and parcel of that Ephesian church. And Paul lists a number of them and then says, but God in His mercy has brought salvation to you. You have been changed by faith in Jesus Christ. You're set apart to belong to Him. And in that reaching down into the pit of death, God not only draws you out, but He cleanses you from the filth of your sin. You can think of the washing of water, and it's a very easy understanding that helps us to see how we are washed by Jesus Christ, how He reaches down to bring us salvation. Just think of how easy that is to understand, the idea of washing. You wash your hands to get clean. It's easy for us to understand that. And the Lord uses it in a spiritual way so that you understand that you have been washed, that you have been set aside to belong to Him. Romans 6 puts it this way. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. In that passage, there is a connection of our union with Christ that your baptism signifies and communicates to you. The second sacrament that we will that God has given to us is the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. This is a covenant sign of assurance to you. It demonstrates to you that you are his children, that you are redeemed by the body and blood of Jesus Christ. The bread and the cup represent our incarnate Lord, that his body was broken and his blood poured out so that we might have redemption. And as you eat and taste and are nourished physically, the Holy Spirit uses that to nourish you spiritually by faith. And again, what an easy idea to recognize. When you're hungry, you eat, and God nourishes your body. And in a similar way, our spiritual hunger is fed through the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. By faith, we recognize Jesus Christ's presence, his sacrifice, the forgiveness of sins that are given to us. These two covenant signs and seals are given for your assurance and to assist you in your fellowship with the living God. They are fundamental marks of the church, and without them, the church becomes merely a club or a social organization. Having seen the nature of those sacraments and the blessing that they are to you, I want to take the next step and to say how this is connected to the role and service of elders. The answer rests on the principle that God gave the sacraments especially to the church, and he gave elders to shepherd the church through the ministry of the word and the sacraments. Let me say that again. God gave the sacraments especially to the church, and he gave elders who will shepherd the church through the ministry of the word and sacraments. Now, in saying that, I want you to recognize that baptism and the Lord's Supper are still a personal, there's a personal aspect to your participation in these. In other words, you must have faith to benefit from these. Without faith, they are external rituals that have no meaning without the Spirit working in us. So your personal relationship with Christ is in view in these sacraments. But the way we receive them is through the visible church, through the body of Christ that he has gathered together. And the Lord has made provision so that through this holy gathering that you would be blessed in your faith. And we can show this with each of baptism and the Lord's Supper. So let's look at baptism. The Lord Jesus Christ gave baptism to the church. To put it in a blunt way, you do not baptize yourself. There was a famous king that took a crown and put the crown on himself and said, "I will now rule you." He took that authority to himself, and we kind of cringe at something like that, but you do not baptize yourself. This is something that is offered to you. This is something that is a symbol of God's own initiation to bring you to salvation. We are, in fact, passive in the rite of baptism. By that I mean, we have no action in a sense. In the Lord's Supper, we are more active in taking and eating. But in baptism, we receive the sign and the seal that is given to us. And the Lord gave this very directly to the church. It's for this reason that I read from Matthew 28 this morning. If you still have your finger in that, you can look there, or you might be as familiar with that as I think many are. The Great Commission says, go therefore and make disciples. And that commission has impelled the church to go to the ends of the earth with the gospel and to preach and to teach, to call people into the fellowship of the church. And it's a good application. But don't stop there. Don't stop with go therefore and make disciples. Look at the method that follows after that. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. The word and the sacraments are the means of this fulfillment of the Great Commission. And God has given baptism particularly to the church for the means of accomplishing his Great Commission. As we make disciples, we do so through the teaching of the word and the baptizing of those who are converted and their households. So practically speaking, let me make application about this into your life. I pray that you would look on your own baptism with gratitude. I pray that you, by faith, would grow in your appreciation that you belong to Christ. And I pray that you would appreciate and thank God that you belong to the visible church that he has established. It is through that visible church that the word is preached and proclaimed, that the sacraments are given. And outside of the church, it's not normal that there is salvation. Instead, it is within the bounds of that visible church that he has designed that you would be blessed. And so thank God for your baptism. For some of you, that may have occurred before you even remember. That doesn't make it any less real. You can thank God that you have been identified with the body of Christ, with the church, and with Jesus himself. So thank God for your baptism. Make use of it as you fight against sin. Recognize that he has marked you to belong to him, not to sin anymore. He has marked you so that you would say, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. As you face temptation, you can say of that temptation, that is not appropriate for one who belongs to Jesus. I have been baptized. He has claimed me to belong to him. Think of Romans 6 and the significance of your baptism there that says you are united with him in his death. And it's a death to sin that you then live out in the Christian life. What if you have not been baptized? I found many people today that think of their faith just in very personal terms. Me and Jesus. Remember I said you need to have a personal faith, that it is vitally important that you believe in Jesus Christ. But Jesus has saved you to himself in the context of a people of God. And there is rich blessing that is in that. And if you neglect to be baptized, you are cutting yourself off from the blessing that the Lord has offered. You're cutting yourself off from the promises of God that come through the visible church and through the elders who care for you. So I urge you to recognize the grace of God that has been offered to you, that you would gladly seek out that covenant sign that identifies you with Christ and with the visible church. You submit to Christ through that. And there is a submitting then to the visible church as well. Secondly, Christ gave the Lord's Supper to the church. Just as surely as we do not baptize ourselves, neither do we take the Lord's Supper privately. I didn't wake up this morning and think, you know, it'd be cool if I had communion today before I came to church. And for breakfast, I'd put out bread and cup and take the Lord's Supper myself. No, Christ has given it to the church. And that comes through in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul says that the covenant meal should be shared when we come together as the church of God. When we come together. Furthermore, he says that abuses of this meal communicate that you despise the church of God, that you shame your brothers and your sisters through those abuses. We can also identify the connection, the vital connection between the word and the sacraments. And as we see that the Lord has given the ministry of the word to the elders of the church, so too the elders are to administer the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. So, for instance, think of Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 11, "For I received from the Lord Jesus what I deliver to you." He is fulfilling his role as, in his case, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, but delivering to the people of God the sacraments that he had received from Jesus. And then all of the New Testament idea of shepherding that follows. Acts 28:28 calls the elders the shepherds of the flock of God that are purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I remind you of Hebrews 13 that I recently preached on, where elders are described as watching out for your souls as those who must give account. And so we are not casual about the celebration of the Lord's Supper. God's word instructs you to examine yourself so that you would come to this sacrament in faith. The Holy Spirit would move you to understand that you need this sacrifice and that you have received forgiveness of sins. And since the elders have been charged to watch over your souls, to watch over the flock of Jesus Christ, you have to recognize that not just anyone is invited. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul defends the fact that there is some faction among you. And in this case, faction is not an improper word or an improper division, but there is a demonstration of those who are approved. Those who celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper have been approved to participate. They've demonstrated that they understand and discern the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And so, as a congregation, we ask those who have not met with one of the elders to do so before participating in the Lord's Supper. But to those who have been invited and to those who have been admitted to the Lord's table, I pray that you would participate in the Lord's Supper with joy and confidence. Remember, these are tangible signs of his grace, and think about the celebratory nature of this feast that God gives. God draws you into that, and by faith we celebrate the redemption that has been purchased by Christ, that has been applied by the Holy Spirit. And as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, this sign and seal give assurance to assist you in your fellowship with the living God. So in summary, God has given elders to you, those who invest in your spiritual health, those who are interested in your well-being, and they make use of the means of grace that we have received from the Lord Jesus Christ. We make use of the means of the ministry of the Word and the ministry of the sacraments so that you would be built up in your faith. And these signs and seals come with the promise of God's presence. They come with the promise that we read in the Great Commission, where having called us, having sent us out with this Great Commission, having given the sacraments and giving the Word, Jesus says, "And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. Let's bow together in prayer. Lord, we praise you that you have not left us in our sin, but have sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to deliver us. We thank you as well that you proclaim that to us in word as we read it and as we hear it preached, and that you also proclaim it to us in the sacraments. And we pray, O Lord, today as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, that you would remind us and that by your Spirit you would build us up in our faith, that we would recognize the feast to which you have invited us, the feast which you have secured through Jesus' death and resurrection. We pray that we would come and by faith celebrate with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's respond by singing to the Lord. We'll sing Psalm 22, Selection D. This psalm is the last part of a psalm that reflects on Jesus' crucifixion, beginning with the words, my God, why have you forsaken me?" describing the cross. But it shifts and anticipates the resurrection and anticipates the spread of the gospel. And so we'll sing together, "I'll praise you in the gathering." We'll join together as the people of God to rejoice in what he has done for us, both in word and sacrament. Psalm 22D, please stand to sing.